What's up, fellas?
How you doing, Connor?
Hi, welcome back to Boys Club.
Welcome
back. Thank you so much for tuning in. Wait, have you seen Princess Diaries?
Yeah.
Do you know how she has that show called Shut Up and Listen?
And then we're rebranding Boys Club to be Shut Up and Listen. We're doing a little another little quick pre-episode chat with you guys. I said that sounds like we're sitting you down to have the talk.
That is how they always lay you off, as someone who's been laid off at least 4 times.
And look at you now with a podcast.
Well, the last one I got back. Never give up.
Never give up. You're not
up.
Fired until they have you in cuffs and out the door, okay?
Remember that.
Okay. Well. Anyway. So we're here today to encourage you guys, if you haven't already, to go check out our web series Boys Club. We dropped the first episode a couple weeks ago. And
one time I was just fired. I was fired once and laid off 3 times.
This message is brought to you by ADHD. we're encouraging you to go check out our web series Boys Club. The first episode, Grindset Mindset, is out right now on YouTube, on our Instagrams. We're also fundraising to make some more episodes. So if you really liked it and you are, you know, the descendants of wealth, or you've got some family that's got money, send them our way. We would love some angel donors to step up and help us make our dreams come true.
We've got 5 more episodes in the tank. They're good.
Really funny.
I will be hotter in them. And that's all.
Even hotter than the first one. And can you even
imagine that?
Don't
say that. That's not true.
I was saying that. I said, can you even imagine that? Because you were already so hot.
You're lying.
I'm not lying to you.
I didn't.
But here's the thing.
I was not hot.
Will he
the first
be?
One.
Yes, you were.
Hey.
Will he be tanner? Probably, because it's that we filmed that in November. So
will my lips be bigger? I don't know. It depends how much funding we get. Just kidding. We're not using it on that.
The People versus Boys Club continues to mount as Connor Janda is illicitly using funds for his lip filler.
You know they don't let me touch the funds.
The funds never touch Connor's hands. Be very assured.
The money does go through. It is a very queer crew. I will say a straight guy handles the money.
Yeah. So be rest assured. A straight guy is handling the finances. Money. Our sweet Will DeVito shout out.
Who's engaged to a woman.
He might be, I would consider him one of the last. I would consider our 3 boys behind the camera that are straight to be our last metrosexuals.
Yeah, they're sensitive
and sweet.
In that they're nice to me.
Yeah.
In that they're kind to, they don't feel threatened.
They love their girlfriends in a way that is gay to me.
Oh my God, I'm jealous of that. I envy that. I do.
But anyway, we already have received incredible support, not financially, but with comments from Grindr. That's right.
We're just like in general, not financially. It's like, what?
No, we've had some financial support.
Not financial.
No. We've gotten some financial support, and we're already so grateful for everybody who gave even $5. That is amazing. Thank you so much.
And if you donated anonymously, it was very sweet, but you have stressed us out a bit, because I feel like I have to be nice to everybody, and that's like a lot. It's
not a world to want to live in. You want to know who you owe money to.
I would like to know.
Yeah, Connor doesn't do well with unknown debts. But yeah, anyway, Grindr is already in glowing support on the Instagram. Loved the episode. So we've gotten a lot of great reviews. People love it. So if you haven't seen it yet, check it out. Boys Club, Grindset Mindset. It's on YouTube. If you're watching this on YouTube right now, go over to YouTube. If you're on Spotify or Apple Music, check out our Instagrams. Check out our YouTube. It's on there. And it's free. So enjoy yourselves.
Please watch it. Send it to a friend. Send it to an aunt.
Yeah. If you don't have money, send it to 5 people that you think would like it.
That's so helpful. I can't even tell you how helpful that is.
Yes. Send it to 1 person you think would hate it. Change their mind.
If it's like a rich person, okay.
Amazing.
That's fine.
If you have 5 not rich friends, that's also great.
Send it to them. Anne Hathaway? Send it to Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
Anne Hathaway would like this?
I bet Anne Hathaway would love it. I think there's a role for her in the Boys Club universe.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
There is.
She could be Wendy.
Yeah, she can.
Yeah.
We'll keep that in.
And if you want to know who Wendy is, donate so you can find out. All right. Well, enjoy our episode. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Hello, welcome back to Boys Club.
What's up, Connor?
How much? How are you doing?
I'm good. I actually have a couple Boys Clubs for today.
Really?
I'm pretty excited about it, yeah.
Get in there.
Okay, so I just got back from Vegas over the weekend.
Amazing.
I was there. I was opening for, shout out, JVN. I opened for them sometimes on the road, and we had a show at, we did 2 shows back-to-back, Cincinnati and then Vegas, which was like the weirdest routing ever. Usually they put you in cities like near each other, but both of those shows back-to-back were in casinos.
Mm.
And I've never gambled before. I had never been to a casino before. Yeah. Yeah, they have event spaces there. But, the one in Vegas had, like, an actual theater.
Of course.
And the other one. But it was very weird. Obviously, being in a casino in Vegas is, like, that's, like, an experience where people are, like, going to, I don't know. That's, like, the reason you go there. To be in a casino in Cincinnati, Ohio was pretty dark, I will say.
Because I feel like in Vegas, you go there to win something. And in Cincinnati, you go there to get out.
Yeah.
That's your ticket out.
That's your ticket out.
And to get out of Cincy.
And you're not getting out out of the casino. Tough. You know what was crazy, too? Like, they had a whole area where, it, like, you could smoke inside and still play the slots. I didn't know that that was happening anywhere
in Ohio.
Out. Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
It was nuts. But it's just pretty sad
that's
to see
like that
there.
Person that I lived with that one time. Do you remember that person I lived that smoked inside?
Yes.
If you're listening, I'm not...
We're not over it.
We're not over it. I think you're really bad, and I'm not excited that you got engaged, and I'm not.
Yeah, same.
And I think you're bad, but I'm not going to say the last part.
Okay.
I shouldn't, right?
Hold it in. for the lawsuit's sakes. Okay, anyway, so...
You know there was a casino in that gay cruise.
I believe it.
Yeah, I had to walk through the casino to do my set, which was like, okay, like relapse territory.
Yeah, no, totally, totally.
I feel like I don't have... Just knowing with alcohol how that all that went, I think gambling would be like a one and done.
Well, I learned my lesson pretty quickly. I've never gambled before, so I played the slots. I did like a real because like so many of the slots now they're buttons, which is like so boring. You want the feeling of the ka-ching, right?
Yeah.
And so I did one of those, and I put $10 in, and I made $50 on my first pull.
Shut the fuck up.
I should have taken it. I didn't realize. I was like, oh, I have 5 more tries now, and then I left with $0. So I learned the highs and lows of gambling in kind of one go there. But,
oh my God.
Okay, so that was the first boys club, is just being in Vegas and casinos. The second one was
I thought that story was going to end. I thought you won $50.
No, I wish. I should have taken my money and gone. I learned my lesson. But then I was in Vegas at the same time that Dead & Company, the Grateful Dead's now like kind of a new band basically, cuz I think they deformed, came back together, whatever. Now they're called Dead & Co. I think
Are
John
they
Mayer
so a million years old.
Well, so John Mayer is like the lead man now. Apparently he's very good, but they're playing at this venue called The Sphere in Vegas, which is like this brand new concert space that's supposed to be like incredible. And so there were so many people wearing like the Grateful Dead merch, and like that's like been like that's a big time boys club, like a lot of like, you know,
Grateful
they used
Dead
to,
fans.
People used to travel with the Dead to like watch them at various things.
I kind of vaguely remember in Wild when she arrives in Portland, did someone from the Grateful Dead die?
I think maybe.
Jax, Grateful Dead lead singer, dead.
Our producer's checking it out. Sweet Jackson.
I feel like she arrives.
Jerry Garcia. Yeah.
And
yeah.
What year did he die? If it's the 90s, then...
95.
Okay, so in Wild, which is a book about Reese Witherspoon hiking the Pacific Crest Trail after quitting heroin and men, she arrives in Portland as Jerry Garcia is dead, and she talks about everyone like crying.
Yeah, it was a big deal. So that's why John Mayer is now the lead man, because Jerry Garcia has passed. But anyway, it was really crazy to be like in this little bubble of like, it was I can't even explain how many people were wearing. Like, it was everybody there. It seemed like the entire city was there to go see the Grateful Dead.
The only
it was
song
crazy.
I know is Ripple. Do you know Ripple?
Of course, yeah.
Da, 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 da. I don't know any of the words, but
no problem. They're mostly a jam band anyway. Anyway, so it was pretty cool to be like in part of that. Like, I don't know. It was cool to see all those like fans and stuff.
I love that you say they're mostly a jam band, because I don't know anything about them nor what a jam band is, but I do feel like one time in my life, so they'll come up and I'll be like, well, yeah, you know, a jam band. And I'll present it as my own.
Please.
And
present
all
it as your own.
At home can too.
Yeah. And then my last boys club that I'm going to bring up, sorry, I had a lot to say today, is
great.
That while I was in Vegas, I did karaoke.
Oh.
And I had never done karaoke before either. And
ever?
I don't think so.
Did you like it?
Actually, somebody's after somebody's wedding, we did karaoke. So I thought I was going to... I didn't know what to expect. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll have fun, whatever. I definitely needed to have a couple drinks in me before I was ready to sing in front of people.
Sure.
I was not, like, whatever. But by the end of it, when I was, like, drunk enough, I was having a good time.
Were you, like, the whole song?
Well, that's the problem. It's like, I kind of want to sing a couple bars. I don't want to sing the whole goddamn thing. Like,
no.
After a while, especially, like, certain songs you'll pick and you're like, damn, this was 5 minutes. I had no idea that was that long of a song.
Actually,
it'll make 3 minutes feel real long.
I did karaoke in college at this bar called West End, and I think it was, like, every Tuesday was Karaoke Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then,
some people fucking love it. Like,
yeah.
That's why I brought it up as a boys club. I mean, there are people that, like, because I went with people that are, like, really into it. They're like, you got to pick 5 different songs of this, this, and this. And I was like, oh my God, I don't have all that. But then, of course, you go with somebody who can, like, really sing, and it's like, oh, this is, we should just listen to you the whole time. I don't need to sing.
I feel like every option presented felt dark to me, because it felt dark to be, like, excited about it and not be able to sing, because then it's kind of just like, get a hobby. But then when you are, if you're good at it, it's like, oh, you have a hobby and it's not going. It's like,
well, maybe it's just like, but not every hobby needs to be.
Say that.
Not every hobby needs to be a career.
Not every hobby needs to be. Thank you for. You're actually correct. You're correct.
But anyway, those are my boys.
I'm gonna think that next time I want to go on the treadmill for 1 extra mile, because my addictive personality. Be like,
yeah.
Not every hobby needs to be a career.
Exactly.
Get off this treadmill.
Get off the treadmill.
Yeah. I keep having intrusive thoughts where I picture myself running off the treadmill, slamming into a wall, and then strangers having to be like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, so scared.
I'm fine. Anyway, you got any boys clubs for this week?
Your sister is the only person who thinks of me as like a cultural critic, because she texted me today when I was at the gym and she said, "What do you think of Lord Summer?" I was like, "I didn't know we were having a Lord Summer."
Yeah.
So,
well, Lord was just like, there was just a video of her like it randomly in Washington Square Park singing to people.
I know.
It's like, girl, you're too famous to just be
was
out
there.
Sister
there?
I don't know.
It's weird to be like, I'm definitively significantly too old to be there. Like, for sure. And I'm also, I think for our friends that were there, I'm not saying they're too old, but it's like, that's their
last. Were our friends
year.
There?
Yeah, we have like friends that have like been on this podcast that were there. That's kind of like how I knew about it. And not, you guys aren't too old if you're listening, but like, I was like, this is,
sure.
This is kind of like the generational divide. Like, it would, could you imagine a year old gay man just like,
yes, I could.
In the park?
Yes, like, I could.
We're seeing Lord. Like, that's so
that's
dark.
Exactly what 30 something gay men are doing.
So, not some, well, now you have to say what it is. Say what
30.
The bottom one. Something is flat. You said something.
Well, I was saying in general, 30-somethings.
30 flat.
I know you're 30 flat. I'm saying that 30-something gay men in general, I guess I could picture them.
Now our guests won't take me seriously because I'm a millennial and no one even cares. And it's like, who cares what I think about? But this goes back to your sister being the only. It's weird. I'm like, you're a 24-year-old gorgeous woman in the city.
Yeah.
The way that you want my opinion on culture is so interesting.
Yeah.
What's my opinion? I'm excited for Lord Summer. I like Lord. I'm glad her hair's dark again. I like
true.
The song that I saw, listened to 2 minutes of. It reminded me of Melodrama.
I was going to say, I feel like we've been in Lord. I don't know. Lord's been around for so long. It's like, what makes it a Lord Summer?
Well, she was depressed for a while and disappeared. Relatable. And kind of respected, honestly. I wish I would just fucking disappear. I'll get depressed and post an Instagram reel. And it's like, no. Go be depressed.
Do the opposite.
It's literally.
Do
actually,
the opposite.
I do think that that's true. Like,
I know. It's like when you're at your lowest, why not put your hand on the stove one more time? Post a reel into the abyss.
No, it actually is. It's like, the only thing I can control in this world is whether or not I try. And it's like, I have to. And it's like, no.
There's
no.
Other ways to try.
Now you're depressed on depressed. Like, it's just a disaster.
Seriously.
It's a disaster. And
all right. So your boys club is Lord Summer.
Lord Summer. I'm excited for Lord Summer. I'm.
It's a boys club you're going to be part of.
Yeah, I'm into Lord.
I'll listen to Lord all summer. I'll do it.
Well, I like Lord more than Charlie. Sorry. I like. Here's why I would say it. Because to me, Charlie.
You must pit them against each other.
Well, I do like. Yeah, you're so right. I do like. Well, that's the whole song. That's the whole song. The whole song's about that.
True.
Girl's so confusing. Lord to me is like anxious, sad, stressed, moody.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Charlie's more like, we're doing coke in the back.
Get in, babes. It's going to be fine.
Yeah. And yeah. Like she has songs that are like anxious, whatever. But I feel like especially Brat and like what she is right now mm-hmm. is not like. I have anxiety and I'm kind of depressed and I'm like upset and that's
yeah.
Lord Ward. And I think like Lord's ability to do like fun, dancey synth pop that is also extremely on the ledge is like really admirable.
Relatable to you.
I relate to that. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Lord Summer.
Should we bring our guest in?
Yes.
Boys, we have a great guest today. And you know, it's not very often that we have a straight ally on the pod today, but we're very excited to get his thoughts on all things boys, all things clubs. He's a very funny stand-up comedian, and we're very excited he's here. Boys, please welcome Sharif Hassan.
Thank you so much for
Thanks.
Having me. I like
welcome.
That
Thanks
intro.
For being
I've
here.
Never really gotten that before.
Well, we're excited that you're here. Yeah. Are you? Have you ever gambled before?
No, I don't. I don't do that.
Yeah.
I'm scared to.
Me too. I like, so especially now, I mean, obviously like, I was just talking about this with somebody, like, gambling used to be, like, you gotta know a guy who's, like, a bookie, or you gotta have, like, access to a casino. Now everybody can just, like, sports gamble from their phone.
I don't like, and I think that's diluted it.
Yeah.
And it's made it bad.
Are you in the stock market?
No, I don't get that either.
I put $500. Sorry. I should get that back. We need that now.
We should get that back.
Into the only one that I'd ever heard of, Peloton. And then
Peloton.
Right before it really tanked.
Yeah, put $500 all on Peloton. And then Mr. Big dies on
yeah. No, we really. And also a child in real life. Sorry.
No way.
No, you didn't know. You didn't know.
Okay.
He didn't know.
Mr. Big and the child.
Yeah, and yeah. The child. Yes.
Both one had a greater.
Yeah.
Effect.
Yeah.
Mr. Big and Mr.
Equally.
Little.
Yeah. Oh.
That did happen.
Both Mr. Dead.
Oh my god,
yeah, that was tough.
That's
so
funny.
Don't give money to Peloton. And now, yeah,
yeah,
don't do it.
Yeah. I don't get that.
I don't either. I've never. I can't. I don't sports gamble because like I don't know any of the lingo. I don't know what like spreads mean. I don't know. Like anytime people talk about
parlay.
It, I don't know any of it. Yeah.
And oh my god.
So many. Like I mean, it really is like a very much a boys' club. It feels like there's so many dudes I know. Like my brother's in college. I feel like all his friends are sports gambling all the
yeah.
time. It's crazy.
Even there, you're watching it, like if you, I don't watch a lot of sports, but when I do, and I watch it with other guys, you realize they're getting so into it because they have money on
totally.
It. And you're like, we wouldn't just watch it. Like, I yeah. thought we were so into it because you just love the game.
And no, totally.
Like, no, this guy's going to lose
$500. Yeah. Whatever happened yeah. to the love of the game?
I know. And you know? It's sad.
No,
what
it
could
is.
Could we gamble on that would be interesting?
Ooh. You can gamble on anything.
Pop Girls.
I mean, you probably could.
I'm probably, yeah, you definitely
could. You can literally gamble on anything.
Like yeah. Tate McRae.
You could be like, Tate McRae will be the most sellout artist next year. Put $500
on it. They were,
I'm
not going
to do that.
I don't know if I made this up. I think they were putting money on whether or not Katy Perry would come back.
from outer space?
I'm pretty sure that happened.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, people lost a lot of money.
I explained her to my dad yesterday.
Okay.
Explained Katy Perry?
I kind of explained the whole thing. Uh-huh. And then I had to explain to who Dr. Luke was, and he wasn't ready for all that.
Yeah.
He wasn't deep, ready, deep and he's pissed.
That's a lot to put on a
he's
dad.
Not happy
yeah.
about it.
Yeah. 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 It's like, what happened to just regular old astronauts? What happened to men in spacesuits
like,
going
well,
up there?
Mad at Gale, and it's like, people don't have, it's like, it was just already a bad time for Katy. Like, it was like kind of the worst time
I guess
to,
so.
To yeah. go to space.
Yeah. Well, it was just weird.
It was just,
it was
weird.
Just weird.
The word is weird.
Yeah.
It's
and
weird.
Her, that video of her just like staring at the camera while outer space is behind her.
Yeah, that's just like a lot.
But the flower.
Yeah. It's know? Like, what do you guys expect? Like, what did they expect was going to happen? What did like we as viewers expect was going to happen?
Yeah.
Like, it's at the end of the day, it's like not that exciting to watch somebody go up for 2 seconds and then right back down.
And I
it was
women.
Over before it was.
I didn't know it was going to be that.
Like so short.
Back.
Yeah.
I love women, but it's like, let's give women a fighting chance. Like, get rid. This is don't make fun of
it's
them.
It's like all the money that went into all the money that went into putting them in space could have like fed so many women. Could have paid for so many abortions. Could have done
like
so many
how,
things. You know,
Gayle King was like. She was responding to people being upset, and she was like, have you ever been to space?
That's the point,
yeah. Gayle.
Yeah.
She's like, I've been to space,
yeah.
and you haven't. You're poor.
I'm also just like, what? I know this is like the, whatever would say it's like, but I've been to air, like the sky. Like we don't like I. What do they do differently?
Right
for 11 minutes.
I know. Like what's yeah. a little bit more? I mean, I guess I'm sure it would be like
we don't get
of,
it. That's their point.
True.
Too. We don't get like what Gayle said.
Have you ever been to space?
We've done mushrooms.
We don't.
Yeah. Like I feel like we've kind of
we've gotten close in that way.
Wait, Jackson shutting the window with a cockroach under it. Jackson,
oh yeah, just killing that cockroach one last time.
I get one. You guys have, we don't have to talk about this now, but
no,
you,
please.
You get some cockroaches?
You get some cockroaches here.
No, only ever rarely. Actually, here's when I get them. Some,
yeah.
When I leave for like 3 days, I'll come back and there will be a dead one in the middle of the kitchen. Do you think this means that they're scared
of me? How do they die? I don't know. I
and
found
it's always
a dead
upside
one.
Down and it's never a baby. And
maybe,
I've never seen more than one.
Maybe the building has like something like pesticide that you don't know about.
Well, the first Wednesday of every month, a man comes to the door and he just like pours. I don't even, I'm not saying spray. I'm saying pour. He just pours like oil everywhere. And then he gave me free traps from the government, like glue traps.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
I moved to Astoria a few months ago.
Don't go attack him. We're going
to
go.
Oh yeah. Sorry. I didn't move to Astoria.
He's never been there.
I didn't live there. But like,
you moved.
I think my second day there, I found same thing. In my kitchen.
Dead cockroach?
And I was like...
Was it just one?
It was just one.
Wait, not to be like crazy. I think it's actually fine. If it's just one and it's not a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Babies is when you have the infestation.
And then I asked my landlord and he was like... I was like, do you... Because I heard a lot of apartments do that where they have an exterminator coming.
Yeah.
And he like laughed at me.
He's like, just one? You're going to be fine.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, exactly. He was like, just one. Yeah.
Wait, can we quote a Casey Shornima joke here?
Sure.
Let's hear it.
She has a joke that is... I found a mouse and I told my landlord about it and he was like, oh, is that bothering you?
Yeah.
Like, that's
yeah,
bothering
like,
yeah, it's bothering
you,
me.
Why are you calling
yeah.
But then I found one that was one and then 4 months later, I found another one.
Oh, that's perfect cadence.
And then 4 months later, yesterday, I found one.
See, I find them in my place every once in a while, but it's always like if we have a huge storm.
Okay.
Or if like the weather drastically changes.
I think it
like shakes them up or something.
And I've noticed whenever I open my windows.
What was that?
Something just hit the windows. Yeah. They're hearing us.
Yeah, they're trying to come in.
Wait,
if I open the windows.
My grandfather was that? I bet that was my grandfather.
The cockroach that just hit the window?
That was a cockroach?
I don't know.
Yeah, no, that wasn't. Imagine they don't fly.
Yes, right? They do.
Holy.
They do?
They fly and they swim.
No.
Cockroaches?
Yes. I don't know about the ones in the city, but I grew up in Savannah, Georgia, and we have big fuckers down there who fly and swim.
And kill. And they shoot, too.
Literally.
Yeah,
and when everything else is gone, they will still be here.
That's crazy.
I'm telling
you. Are
you
sure they fly?
I've seen it with my fucking eyes. I've seen them fly. Thank you.
My cat, I have a cat. She catches them.
I was going to say, that's probably the best.
And she's really good at it.
Cockroach repellent is a cat.
Yeah.
That's why I wish I had a cat.
She holds them and doesn't do anything.
Dude.
She lets them live?
I don't think she knows what to do. I know she's like, she doesn't want to eat them, which I heard they're not supposed to
eat. Well, they're pretty gnarly. I feel like cats know, like, so she'll catch them.
Again, it's only happened like twice. She'll put her paw on it and just stay there until, and then I'm like, what is she doing? And then I just see her and I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah. Wait, what's her name?
My cat, Stevie.
Shout out to Stevie.
Shout out to Stevie
if you're watching this
She's a great girl. Yeah.
Wait, I was something about cockroaches. Oh, our neighbor across the hall just moved out, but he had a dog.
He did. Did they fill his place?
Not yet, I don't think. I asked my landlord yesterday.
I feel like that would go overnight.
My fucking landlord, though, she like, she's this old lady. She was like, we're not painting. I'm not painting it. This guy put like a full rainbow stripe through the middle of his living room. His entire, one of his bedrooms.
Powerpuff Girls.
One of his bedrooms, one of his walls in his bedroom is like a full like mural that he did himself. I'm like, you have to paint that.
Just keep it.
You have to paint that. It's not just like, oh, it's green now. You have to paint that.
You need to find either a gay guy or like a 60-year-old woman that did a lot of acid.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a lot of acid.
And she's still with us. I'm a little nervous because I feel like the dog being up there probably helped us like just keep pests away in general, because I feel like they know, like they sense that there's
so interesting.
You know,
there's a ton of dogs in here.
I feel like that's helpful.
Yeah,
low key.
I heard. I think they're like scared of it.
So you having a cat, I think, is probably the best cockroach repellent you
can
have.
They also like they spread the news to other. They're like, there is a monster in that apartment.
Yeah,
stay out.
But for some reason they don't give a fuck about us. Like we're the biggest.
That's exactly
thing that they would see.
Yeah,
weird. It's weird.
Does your mount, does Stevie ever catch mice?
Thank God, knock on wood. Yeah. I haven't seen.
Cross our hearts.
Do you have a roommate?
No, it's just me.
A studio or a one bedroom?
You and Stevie.
One bedroom.
Do you like living?
Wow,
I really love it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice.
I know. The place across the hall from me is a one bedroom, and my girlfriend and I wanted to. We were like, oh, maybe like this is a good time for us to move in, and like you know, it seems like it's a great price, and it's like right across the hall. That'd be so easy. And then my landlord again, she was like, it's too small. There's only one closet. I was like, you can't tell us we can't move in as a couple. I feel like that's illegal.
Don't worry. Yeah.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is how you gave up so fast. I'm not.
Yeah.
You haven't talked to Teresa. You haven't talked to her.
Teresa's your landlord.
Yeah.
I have an old, big Italian man, who's he's very, very Italian.
Yeah.
Very New York, and the apartment across from me. My old super, who I've never met, died. And he lived there his entire life since he was a child.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and my landlord kicked his girlfriend out as I was moving in.
That is like, crazy. Yeah.
Was she old?
Not as old as that guy.
Yeah.
He was kind of younger.
There's a woman that lives two floors above who's the sweetest woman ever. Her name I actually don't know, and I'm sorry. But she's lived here for 44 years. I know. I really wanted to be like, what was AIDS like?
So yeah, like, what was this building like 40 years ago? What was this? That's such a long time.
There's this website called 1940s New York that took a picture of every single building in New York in 19.
Oh, cool.
Have you seen this?
I've seen some of that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
The building looked the exact same in a haunting way.
I believe it. I mean, it's an old building.
Yeah, like
not in a bad way. I just mean like it's clearly
in a bad
way.
Like I thought the floors were dirty, and then I took a magic eraser to them, kind of fucked them up, and I was like, "This isn't dirt. It's just age.
This is just what the original floors looked like.
These are the original floors from 1904.
Wow. Yeah,
that's awesome.
But my landlord, the reason that she's felt she had the knowledge to tell me that only one person could live there is because she lived there 40 years ago.
In that exact apartment?
She used to live in my unit, and she also lived in the unit across the hall.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is really crazy.
I know.
Mary Tyler Moore vibes.
Literally. Yeah. Oh, wait. What was the other one? Oh, yeah. Have you been to Vegas before?
No.
Have you? Are you at all a fan of the Grateful Dead or any? Yeah. I like the Dead, and I like, but it was like so wild to be like, I mean, it's crazy that like your city's being descended upon by like the chillest group of people ever.
I did know Jerry Garcia died.
Okay.
While you brought that up. You're
yeah.
Like, did someone, I was like, it's Jerry Garcia.
Yeah.
You mentioned the book. By Reese. No, but it was funny the way you described it. You were like, Reese Witherspoon went. And in my head, I was like, when did she do that? When did Reese Witherspoon?
She just played Cheryl Strait. Yeah.
She played Cheryl Strait. I think
he has a crazy life.
I don't know if Hello Sunshine was.
Yeah, this was before Legally Blonde.
Yeah, yeah.
This maybe like wasn't Hello. Do you know Hello Sunshine?
Her
like production company
yeah,
made
my mom,
stories.
My mom told me all about
yeah.
that. Yeah. My mom's
obsessed with your mom.
Yeah.
We're going to have your mom on next time. Yeah. Women's stories matter.
Yeah.
They just matter. So, like.
That's what her tagline is?
No, but there's that video of her. her being like, women stories matter.
And then
they
she goes
just
to
matter.
Space right after. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I just watched a video of her getting arrested, and it was like kind of like relatable. Yeah.
When was that?
She said, do you know who I am? You're about to find
out.
Oh,
I remember that.
And I was like,
yeah.
I was like, we're on your. And then the next day she released this statement that's like, I have nothing but respect for the cops. This was 2013.
Okay.
So it was kind of a
different
time.
Yeah.
It was a different time.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but I was like, girl, go off.
Do you know who I am? You're about to find out.
And then she said, women's stories.
Women's stories matter. They just matter. Wait, on that topic. Okay, so I get into this weird rabbit hole every time I'm... This is like every time I'm at an airport early, I find myself just like scrolling TikTok. And every time I end up watching these like... these videos of people like crashing out and getting like arrested or like DUIs or something like that. Or like family torn apart, whatever. Just like this...
Is your TikTok algo?
It is now because I keep watching him. But today, on the way here, I was on the subway platform and I saw one like in the flesh. This guy...
Someone got arrested.
I don't know what happened. No, it was just like two people. But I don't know exactly what happened. It was this woman and this man. And she said like, fuck off or something. And then he started following her and like filming her and being like, this woman just told me to fuck off. Blah, 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 blah. Like full fight. To the point where I almost was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like maybe we should take it down a notch. Like,
oh my God.
But I was like...
Thank God you don't never...
I know. I don't need to get involved. But like
never ever.
I know, but I was like, is this guy gonna like follow this lady out the so I just like wasn't sure what was gonna happen, but it was just like, oh my God, we've created this whole new like weird thing now where people like go to pull their phones and like film each other. Yeah. It's a really strange thing to like see in the flesh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh no. I feel like it's like me talking to my dad and I'm like, someone has broken down on the side of the road, do not get out of your car. You are an old man, what the fuck are you gonna do? But he's such a good guy that he just like wants to help. And it's like that's how they rob people. Do you understand?
Yeah. That's how Buffalo Bill got the girl into the car when he murdered her.
They were a sweet man, but you are not of use to people on the side of the road. It's bad.
I just think if I was in an altercation with somebody on the street, my first instinct would not be to pull my phone out, it would be to like run away.
Okay.
I don't know. I like want to be. I want to be in a situation where I find not. No, I don't want to. But I have never. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what my
fight or flight
would
do. But yeah, I don't know. Do you guys ever watch those though? Do you ever see those like videos of people like crashing out and like they're it's literally just like I don't know. I watch one and then they just keep feeding to me because they're just like rage bait. But it's like
I feel like
this. It's like it's always people being like, "Do you know who I am? Like you're about to find out that exact thing." Yeah,
I feel like the way that I fight with people at the gym, I might just go head on into it.
I guess so.
Because I'm kind of always ready to be like, actually, today someone just looked at me at the gym and I was like.
You know, you kind of just have to. And I was at a couple months ago, I was in the Upper West Side and I was at a thrift store and a Muslim woman walks in wearing a burqa. Mm-hmm. So her face, you can see her face. And she had like a baby in a stroller and her little daughter with her. She's shopping. And then this like guy. Is like telling her she was kind of blocking the way and he like asked her to move and then she did and like he looked at her and he was like, you're in America now.
Oh fuck.
And,
that
and I was like, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, what did you just say to her? And he was like, well, she is in America now. And I was like, yeah, she know, like she's aware.
Yeah,
you know that, like that's not why you said it. And then which bothered me because he was like, no, she's in America. Oh, like, you know.
Yeah, he's trying to rationalize.
I'm trying
like,
to help
oh,
her.
I'm being
yeah,
regular.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
and then I was like yelling at him and cursing. I was going crazy cursing at him. And he was like, he looked at me and, oh, I was like, you're a racist piece of shit. And he's like, well, if you think America's a piece of shit, you should leave. And I was like, that's not what I said. And, and then I looked around and this guy was watching and I was like, am I crazy? Like, am I actually going crazy? And this guy, this bystander was like, you do sound crazy. And I was like,
what the fuck?
I was like, whoa, oh what's going on? And I'm like, at that point, I'm like, am I like, I think I'm genuinely losing my mind. Like,
no, you were in the right.
I know I was in the right. And
John
then,
Quinones is never there when you
and I was waiting. I was like, is someone going to come out and be like, you did great?
Yeah.
And the guy kept like, oh, he was like, you're being racist. And I'm like, what do you?
The first guy?
Yeah, the white guy. And I was like,
what?
I don't know what's going on right now. And then he was like, also, I recorded you the whole time. And then he left. And I was literally like, and then I realized the lady left.
She didn't even stay there.
I'm like, where's that lady? And she was like, I'm gone. Good
she's
luck.
She's like, I'm not dealing with this.
You're like, I'll be talking about this on the gay podcast. Yeah. Thank you so much. Goodbye. Goodbye.
We'll be blowing the whistle on this podcast. Well, that's, I mean, I'm sorry that happened and that's fucked up. But
no, it was kind of fun.
It's crazy too, though, like that we live in a world where like somebody could just be like recording you, though. And like,
yeah,
I
know.
Know.
And then
scary.
I'm like, was he recording? I didn't see a phone.
Yeah. Oh, that's fucked. Yeah. I mean,
was
yeah.
your heart rate elevated?
It was. And I was so, and even better, the next day I got the flu. So, and I feel like I heard you're most contagious when you don't have symptoms. So I think I infected him.
Good. Good.
I think I did.
I hope. Yeah. Hopefully he was down for the count.
If you're out there.
Yeah. Fuck you.
And an old white man on the Upper West Side, the flu is all it takes. Yeah. Just one case of the flu and you're out.
It is all it takes.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. No, I mean, it's hard because you want to be able to like, I don't know. People are so crazy these days. You just like never know what you're dealing with.
Yeah. And before I was like, this is going to feel great. You know, I'm like, I'm the hero. I'm standing up for her. People are going to be like, you rock.
Yeah.
But then he was just like, and he left thinking like he was right.
Which is so infuriating.
And I'm sure he told his friends like, this crazy guy just yelled at me for no reason.
Yeah. Racist asshole. Yeah. Fuck that.
I hate this story. It's very stressful. there's no closure whatsoever. I lost
in the end.
That's part of being right is the person knowing that you're right. And it's
that's
like,
the worst too. You're like, this person's never going to know that that they're wrong.
And I called my parents. So I was like, this is what happened. They're like, you shouldn't have done that. Like, what if he was recording you? You could get in trouble. And I'm like, oh my God.
No, for calling someone a racist piece of shit, you can't get in trouble for that.
He could just splice it and be like,
yeah.
Crazy Muslim guy calls me.
Right. And that's the thing that you have no control over. Yeah. Like, people can just put it up as they want. Yeah. No, that's so fucked. That's so fucked.
Yeah.
But I feel that too. Like, I don't know. There's also something, I mean, not to project onto you, but like, if, and for me, like, let's say, like, it was like a trans person getting, like, you know, berated or something. And I would want to be like, I want to stick up for this person.
Yeah.
But then I would also feel, like, there's also this thing going on for me where I'm, like, feeling like, oh, fuck, like, I'm anxious about my own relationship to this thing, too, and that's making me feel, like, weird or, like, making me feel like I should say something, but also then if I don't say something, I feel guilty, but if I do say something, I'm going to feel, like, self-conscious because I'm related to this, too. I don't know. It just would feel like, I feel like there's so much going on, especially when you're, like, trying to stick up for, like, some of your, for your own
or
something, like, similar to you or something.
Another marginalized group that's
totally
not your own.
Yeah.
For sure.
It feels like it at times.
Yeah,
it feels like it can be because it feels like I'm not like it feels like I'm not putting my heart on and out of display too.
Yeah,
in a way.
Yeah,
know?
It's like of course you like gay rights.
Right,
you're gay.
Right. It's like okay, yeah.
Gary dies.
Yeah. Totally, totally.
I also like to go with what you're saying. Like I never told that guy I was
totally
Muslim, but he immediately assumed, and I'm like, he's assuming right.
Right.
Which bothers me.
Yeah.
Like I'm not. You know.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Damn.
Yeah.
But I feel like that also goes against the spirit of literally what he was like, the whole thing. I don't know. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Also,
his idea
like,
that in America, like that he thinks that her religion is oppressing her. Is that what he's saying to her?
I don't know.
Maybe. I mean,
I don't know. I guess he's like, wherever you're from, you're allowed to block swords. I don't know what he was saying.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was very weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck that. Well, if you're on the Upper West Side and you're listening to this, fuck you.
Yeah.
Stop listening to us. We're
in an L train right now. Was it an L train? No, it's probably like a ritzy Upper West Side thrift store.
It was kinda
fuck
nice,
that
yeah.
guy. But what was the last one? What was your? Oh, yeah. Are you a fan of Lord?
Not really. My sister loves Lord.
Yeah.
And I keep getting, I think one time my sister used my email and her own email to sign up for something.
Yeah.
So I always get emails.
So you're going
to
be part of Lord Summer, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Wait, like what would a Lord Summer consist of? Like, I feel like that depression.
I guess.
Yes.
Yes.
We need it.
Being depressed and listening to synth pop.
Wait, did you guys see the videos of girls running to Washington Square Park to see Lord stand on a box? What is this? Okay, are these straight girls? Are these Jackson? Google, were those straight girls? Or, like what? Like what's
find
the
out
demographic
yeah.
of
yeah.
a Lord fan?
Did they take a poll?
I don't know. I would imagine. I mean, most girls are straight. Well, that's not even true.
All right.
By the numbers, it's true, but it's not even true because people need to really think about themselves. I think more. But by the numbers, most girls are straight. That's her in the park. I'm just like,
she looks amazing.
Wow.
Oh my God, I love
her. I'm waiting for it. That green light.
See, you might like her new song because her new song is.
I'm just saying, she's too big to just be out at Washington Square Park.
I was honestly nervous.
It's one of our craziest parks.
Did she have like people with
her? I'm sure there was some security, but even still,
there were guys.
She called it for 7. They had to shut it down, and then she like
Whoa.
Wait, the police shut it down? Yeah. Because there were too many people there to see Lord?
Yeah. I mean, we've got so many fucking cops in the city, they can't handle it. Jesus Christ.
Wait, so she was just like in a van waiting to go? Like, I don't understand.
I'm waiting for it. That green light. That's crazy.
Green light, Lord, let's go. Let's go. Put your knickers on. We're going. She just stood on a crate, an apple box.
And yeah.
Wow. And then, yeah.
Well, Lord Summer.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to know what's a boys club that you are not a part of.
Yeah, I thought about this. I really did. I've never been into like the whole like moving to New York to follow your dreams. I don't like that.
Are you from here?
No. Well, here, this is a good question. I'm from New Jersey.
Of course.
And I think it's like Northern. What'd you say?
Northern.
Central.
Okay, are you near?
What is that?
Freehold?
No, I'm like, it's kind of like, I don't know. Can I say where it? I don't know if I should say.
Yeah, you don't have to say. You don't have to say.
Actually don't.
Yeah, right. I'm like, this is my
and here's my zip code, yeah. And here's my social security.
I don't trust any of these people.
So I've been like, I've always been, like, it takes me like 40 minutes to get into the city.
Yeah.
So I think because it's always been so close to me.
Yeah.
I've always been just like dipping my toes in New York.
Yeah.
That it's not as like, oh boy, I'm going to move to the big city that yeah. I see like a lot of, you know, mostly like rich white people do.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think even like I like the idea of immigrants coming to New York, like the whole American dream thing, you know, like the first 20 minutes of The Brutalist.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is amazing. Like the old Greek people in Astoria. I'm like, they've been there 100 years. I love that. And then I think when you get like somebody from Nebraska and their parents already made it, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, this isn't enough for me. I want to go to New York to like be a musician. I'm kind of like, shut up. I'm like, you already have it. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, where are you guys from?
I'm from Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah.
Philadelphia.
And you're from Philadelphia. So,
up the coast.
We kind of,
we're
I guess.
Down the coast.
Down the coast. I mean, it's interesting to me anytime people move here, like, obviously, for certain artistic pursuits, there's kind of nowhere else you could go. I mean, these days,
and
a little bit.
I still love the idea that this is, like, a cultural hub, and people want to flock here.
Yeah.
I love that, but I'm also like, meh.
The most fascinating experience I ever had was one time I got Botox, but it wore off, don't look. But I got Botox. And the girl that was doing it, this like gorgeous nurse practitioner named like Kelsey or something, I was like, oh, where are you from? And she was like, Mississippi. And then I was like, oh, but she was like the straightest woman I'd ever met. Uh-huh. Just like seemed super straight, seemed super like she would just like live in Mississippi and get married.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, when did you move here? And she's like, oh, you know, like right out of college, like, you know, it calls to all of us freaks, you know, or something like that. And I was like, I don't still read that about you. Like, I just like, I get why we're here. Like,
but it's funny because like, you meet somebody like that from Mississippi. Because like, growing up in the South, it's like this. Where a person, especially a woman, who just has a little bit of joie de vivre is like a freak down south. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And she's got to get out. Yes. Like,
yes.
It's so, the barrier.
I love that you said joie de vivre.
The bar for like what is considered weird down south is so low. Yeah. You know, if
would
you're even
think I was weird there?
Well, you're gay, so yes. Like, we are leaps and bounds above the bar. Like,
would they judge me there?
Yeah.
How would they
like
treat me?
When we moved there, because my folks are from upstate New York originally, and
oh, wow.
We moved down there when I was like 8. I've told you this story before. I maybe told it on pod before, but my dad's a physician, and so some of his like other like doctors invited him to this like old school club in Savannah. That's like, if you're born into it, you're like a debutante. It's like old money, old school. So he just like went with these folks, and one of the guys there was like, "Oh, we would love to have you join. You could be like a diversity hire because you're a Catholic from the north." And he was like,
"There you go."
I don't think so. Yeah. So that's kind of where the bar is. Yeah. It's that low to be a freak down there.
Really weird.
Yeah. We would have been quite weird. I mean, we were quite weird for down there.
I'd be like, oh, hey, diva, what are you wearing for Easter Sunday, darling? Truman Capote.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, you're right.
So did you move? So when did you move into the city?
Like 5 months ago.
But oh, my
like,
God, really?
Yeah, and I've always been in Jersey with my family. And like I said, it was like dipping my toes. Where I'm like, oh, I'm in New York.
Yeah.
But I'm also in New Jersey. So it's like, You know what I mean? So it's not.
Wait,
as,
what year were you born? Don't say it if you want to.
99.
Totally, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Hell yeah.
So it's kind of like when I do meet people who, like, you know, like I come from like a family of immigrants who, like, I know moved to New Jersey or moved to New York for like survival.
Yeah.
So when I see like a rich kid from Idaho who's like, I want to be a poet and I'm coming to New York, I'm like,
get out.
Get out. Yeah. You know? Yeah, or out. It's like what you said before about your hobby doesn't have to be a career. And I think, like, especially like with stand up where you meet people who are just so, they love like the performance of it and the art of it, which I also love, but then they have like a different relationship with it.
Yeah.
Where they're like, I'm gonna, you know, they're like, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna live in New York and I'm gonna chase my dream of being a stand up comedian and I'm also gonna be a barista. And then you, like, you see where they live and you're like, who's paying your rent?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, this isn't stand up.
This
or
girl
barista
I had a
money.
Fallout with. I mean, we didn't have a fallout per se, but I'm not invited to her wedding. And ooh. No, it's still, it's all good. And her parents paid her rent. Actually, that's the end of the story.
It's just
that,
like,
the end of the story.
It's kind of okay. Like, I worked with somebody a while ago, and I knew for a fact we were making the same amount of money.
Yeah.
And then I accidentally saw they had like an Uber, like a receipt or something, and I saw their address, and I'm like, oh, let me see. It said Park Ave.
Right.
And I'm like, how? How on earth?
Yeah.
If we make the same amount of money, how are you living on Park Ave?
I keep meeting gay guys that live in the financial district, uh-huh. and their rent is like $4,000 to $5,000, and their bedroom doesn't have a window. And it's like, you don't have to do this. Yeah. If you have this much money, first
and
off,
why
you
are you in
FIDI
of all places?
It's absurd. It's like, you shouldn't even have to go there for a day.
Yeah.
One of my favorite quotes about living in New York is Fran Lebowitz was like, said something about, like, people always say, I can't afford to live in New York. No one affords to live in New York. Yeah. And yet, somehow, every year, 8 million people do it.
Exactly, yeah.
It's so true. It's like, nobody can afford to live here, yet here we all are, somehow.
What you were saying made me think this. I just
no, go.
I've been working on my morning pages, and my new thing's my birthday's in a week. No offense, my birthday's in a week, so if you wanted to donate to our GoFundMe, now would be a great time, because my birthday is tomorrow, the day after this comes out.
Yeah.
Oh, is it the day that this comes out? It's
no,
2 days after,
2 days
this,
after
comes
this comes out.
Out. And I was like, what if for this next year, my goal is no professional growth? None. I have no don't take that too seriously. I was like, Nico's not going to like this. I was like, and my manager not going to like
this? Just as we're
this?
Getting this podcast off the ground.
It's like no professional growth, like literally no growth, like no growth. Like your goal isn't any professional growth. Your goal is to like figure out like what is Animal and like what's Fire Island. Like you should maybe go there and like a Speedo for me or not.
It sounds like your goal is to relapse. It sounds like your goal is to just to go to a bar and a famously party town and not grow professionally. It sounds like you're trying to relapse.
Fire Island, a town. There's no town. It's kind of the point. It's like sort of like a, there's like a lunch hall and it's kind of it. But it, like a year of no growth. I don't know if this is related to what you kind of is. It was like, were you just like, we're for a year, I'm actually just a fitness instructor.
Okay.
I'm just a gay guy that teaches fitness and okay. I have a house here. This is it. And I am just, and that's it. And I do my morning pages.
And you could do that. And I think like a lot of people, they're like really obsessed with the idea of like, I'm here to make it and I'm going to chase my dream. And it's, I like I said before, I like that idea that New York is all about that. But I don't know. I don't. It gives me like secondhand embarrassment to, like, you know.
Sure.
They're like, I'm here to make it, and I'm like,
well, it's never the people that you really like want to see art from or feel
inspired
by that are really
exactly.
Like
exactly. And you're like someone should have told you.
Yeah.
Like no.
It's like the best poetry isn't coming from a trust fund. I'm certain of that. Like,
yeah.
yeah.
It's, you know, or taking a stand up class.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna really learn how to.
Yeah.
Wait, stand-up. I have to out myself as taking a stand-up class. When I was years ago, I'm not going to say how many years ago, but it was taught by this woman who was so sweet to me. And one time she pulled me aside and said, you're the only one I believe in. So when I get
and she was right.
Yeah. Audrey, if you're listening, you literally she works in higher ed. You fucking did it.
Yeah.
You fucking did it, Audrey.
Did anyone else make it?
This guy makes funny videos in LA and his name is Elliot and he is ripped as hell.
Okay.
And everyone else, no. I love the way you said, did anyone else make it? Did we make it?
You made it.
Yeah.
You're doing it.
Oh,
yeah,
shut
up. You're welcome.
Well, that's the other thing that's funny to me about when people are like, I want to make it. It's like, what does that mean to you? Like, that can mean so many things.
And sometimes it is just like, you know, you're like, them making it is like, yeah, I, I play guitar occasionally, and my friends love that I play guitar.
Yeah.
And I'm also a barista, and my dad also pays my rent. And then it's like, okay, but like, when is that going to, what's going to happen after?
Yeah.
Are you going to be like 50 years old and
still doing this?
Still doing that?
Yeah.
These guys moved in. I forget what their names are, but they like left a note and they said, sorry, sometimes we're going to play guitar and blah, blah, blah. And then they did it like one time and then they totally, and it was totally annoying. And I was like, shut up. Sorry. And then I'm like, not a good name, whatever.
Yeah.
And then, and it's like, yeah, it was loud and annoying, but it's like, and then you stopped and it's like, are you guys okay?
They
like,
gave up.
I want to be like,
on
guys,
their dream.
Get back in.
Keep
like,
going.
If you got an amp, do it. Like, yeah. We didn't move all this way. One of them was from, I Googled them. One of them was from Canada. It's like, you came here.
Wow, you crossed borders for this.
You. They were like, this is going to be a thing we're going to do.
You should put on people's things. If you hear some laughter and some really cold takes happening, that's the podcast.
We will be podcasting in this apartment. That's really whack. Oh, but in the stand-up class, it was kind of like I paid $400 and they were like, so an open mic is this thing where you go.
Oh,
and that
wow.
Was truly the extent of it.
You were like,
I could have Googled that for free. We could have gotten Jackson on that for free.
Yeah, but I was so, anytime I do anything, I was so, like, going to an open mic, I had to go and I had to, like, watch and sit there. I was so anxious and nervous.
Open mics scare me. They're still
terrifying. Terrifying.
Do you go to them?
I try to, and then it's just like, what I've noticed is I think there's two types. I think you'll have, like, you know, your regular white guy who goes to an open mic and will say the most insane shit ever that you're like, you cannot say.
The most horrific thing you've ever heard.
So this one guy just went on like an anti-homeless rant.
What
and
the
was
hell?
Like,
was it an accent that's Boston? Trying to engage with a specific person?
Oh my God, yeah, that guy.
He was like, he was older and he was just like, you could tell he's like had a bad experience. And he was like, they should take all of them and throw them in the garbage. You know
wait,
what I mean?
Where was it?
Jesus Christ.
It was in Manhattan.
Of course. Grizzly Pear.
No, it wasn't. No, I can't remember where.
Dude, every hack open mic stand-up has some bullshit to say about homeless people. And it's like,
yeah.
Like, can you think of anybody who is like kicking them while they're down? Like, can you think of anybody who is less?
You know,
like,
I'm
just leave
attack?
People alone, for Christ's sake.
Or it'll be like, it'll be just one woman in the room and someone's like, I'm going to say some insanely sexist shit.
Yeah.
You like.
For no reason.
It's so you have that group. Which, you know, you go to an open mic and you experience that and you're like, oh my God, like, why am I here?
Yeah.
And then you have another group, which I think happens a lot in Brooklyn, actually, where I think it's like people are like, oh, I broke up with my therapist. And then everyone in the room is just like dying at that.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
what? No, totally. Totally.
I'm like, therapist.
Yeah.
<I'm> like, <"Huh?" laughs> You know,
no, there is like a. There's a weird like cult, especially in like I feel like in the Brooklyn scene, like where sometimes like you'll be like, oh, you need to go do this outside of this little bubble because like it's just your boys here or your girl or whomever
they're
laughing
like,
at your same shit.
Jokes
yes,
that I'm like, how do you get this joke?
Yeah,
like what do you mean? You know?
Yeah.
Or someone's like, I'm in an open relationship again, and then people are like,
classic
Rachel.
Guy.
There,
yeah.
There she goes again. I'm like, what is this?
No, totally.
Yeah. There needs to be a. I want those two groups to kind of.
Yes.
That old guy, if he like heard that.
Yeah.
He'd be like, what the?
Do something else. Yeah, no, totally.
Bisexual. What the?
No, totally.
That's interesting. I every time I have to do like a showcasey type five, I try to run it at open mics.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean this fucking, I mean to shred everyone to bits when I say this. But I have like a mental breakdown kind of like the full week before because I'll like go to open mics and like run things and be like, oh, they all hate these. And then I'll go and like not to be a dick. Then I'll go do it at the showcase. And it's like,
and
sorry, actually everyone at the stand fucking loved the joke that I wrote.
Yeah.
Whereas,
yeah.
But to write a joke and perform it at an open mic in Brooklyn is like, that's so embarrassing that you wanted this thing.
I know. Which is so antithetical because it's like, yeah, we're doing this because we're trying to get better at this.
You think
this
I want to Singapore be an unsuccessful 30 flat year old gay guy? Like, oh, please.
Who's having his Lord's summer with nothing to show for
absolutely
it?
Absolutely not. Like, I'm here to get out of here. Like, I'm not here to make friends. And I don't mean that in a bitchy way, but it's like, I'm not here to.
But it's so funny because, like, people, it is like this weird, almost like, I found that sometimes in the Brooklyn scene that upsets me is like almost like people look down upon like trying or like writing something and like going for it. It's like, what do you think an open mic is? It's a place to test material. It's not a place to like, say your weird inside joke thing that everybody's going to love today, but you're never going to do it on a show.
Yeah.
No,
it's
so
really
strange.
Dark.
And it is. And then you're in that room and you get the vibe. I'm like,
yeah,
all these people are like, they're here to make it.
Yeah. But they're unwilling to actually put themselves out there, and they have the cushion of paid for.
And
then
there's always that straight guy that he gets up and then he does a joke that doesn't work. He says, "Oh, none of us are gonna make it," and I'm kind of like, "Bitch, I am."
Speak for yourself.
Audrey Jonas.
Audrey is. No, that's the worst too. None of us are gonna make. Or like, oh, I guess he doesn't like it in Brooklyn. It's like you didn't say anything funny.
That's my favorite one. Like. First of all, like when you go to a mic and then the joke bombs, that's okay.
Yeah.
Like that's the point of it. So my favorite is like when someone bombs and they're like, oh, that's because you guys respect women, you know?
Yeah. It's like, oh, got us? Yeah. Okay. Got it. Yeah. So dumb.
I spend a year of my life every day. I would do like three a day and I would go to like the comedy shop.
Oh, wow.
And I go to Broadway Comedy Club.
Just and terrible to, place like, after terrible
Grizzly
place.
Pear, which is just like. So the set, it's really hard in there. It's the most awful place actually ever.
Yeah.
Oh god,
it's the worst. It's Greenwich so Village dark
Comedy
in
Club.
There.
Your phone's not even working in Greenwich Village Comedy Club. You want to go on Grindr, be like, who's around here? And you can't even. You're trapped.
Yeah,
it's
you're like, I
could
die. In
fully
here.
Trapped. Nobody would know. Nobody would know. Yeah. Oh my god. And also, in the back room there, because when the green room is just like this hallway, which is also the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Terrible place. Should we do our next boys club?
What do you feel like as a boys club you are a part of?
I think I'm, again, it kind of goes with what I said in being like, it's the opposite of what I was saying of how I'm not a part of it, where I think because I'm from New Jersey and because I'm like a child of immigrants, whatever boys club that is, and I think like if you find that group of people like here to do art, where it's kind of like more chill.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, we're doing it.
Yeah.
If we don't make it, oh well. You know, it could be worse. And,
yeah.
You know, it's, and I think that's what I'm a part of. I kind of like it. Like, I do stand up because I love it, but, and I, you know, you got to try really hard, but, and I think I'm part of that. Like, you have to really love it.
Yeah.
But then, you know, in you can really try to, like, be your best at it, but then in a way that has to be genuine. And I think sometimes it doesn't feel genuine with some people.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I feel that that's when I get most frustrated in like with peers is when you can tell they want to be famous.
Yeah.
They don't want to be good at this.
Yeah. Or they'll do like, you could tell like they're half-assing it. And yeah. I'm like, why are you doing this?
And also like, yeah, why would you come sit at an open mic for 3 hours to fucking fuck around up there? Like, yeah like go in and do your thing. That that has always been like my biggest frustration with like, yeah, when especially like these days with like internet stuff where like people can just like, you know, mm-hmm. put it out or blow up or whatever, and like they see that as like the goal, and it's like, no, the goal should be to like enjoy yourself and to connect with people and to have fun and to get better at this. It shouldn't be to like get famous overnight for whatever the fuck. Like,
yeah
I think that's something that like keeps me going is like that I really like this and I feel like I have something to say, and I think that that's like I'm like, if I didn't have that, I don't know why would you do this? It's such a terrifying art form. Why else would you get up there?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah.
I know, a world with a meteoric rise. I keep saying that, meteoric rise. Uh-huh. That's hard. And it's true, like, when in doubt, when I'm like, oh, I'm stressed out, what video will go viral? Like, what can I do right now for, like, it literally is a drug. It's like a quick hit. And then it does it, and you're like, I'm not.
Yeah,
like,
oh my god, that feeling when you're like, I'm gonna post this easy joke that'll go viral, and then it doesn't, you're like, delete.
Yeah.
I never posted.
You mean my joke about manorexia from 12 hours ago? Yeah. Did I think it was genius? Yeah, I did.
People don't get it.
I think Dennis Quaid was gonna send a cease and desist. I thought he was, and like none of that's happening.
Dennis, like, are you listening?
This is gonna be controversial.
They're gonna be knocking down the doors for this one.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, my eating disorder girls are my community, and they'll love this. They have abandoned me, and they have completely left.
They said
me.
We didn't come to Instagram for this. Well, the other thing too, like with videos and stuff, it's like. Even if something goes mega viral, like, obviously, there are benefits to it, but at the same time, it's like, it's just another viral video on millions of viral videos that exist on the internet. Like, it's at this point, it's like...
I think it's just touring. Am I right? Is it kind of just, it's touring?
I think if you have a touring act, it's very, like, social media can be invaluable to that for selling tickets, but if you're not doing that, like, obviously, unfortunately, these days, it does seem like every exec wants to give their job away to the algorithm and let followings decide things.
This girl told me that everyone buys followers. Did you know that?
No.
Let them waste their money. Then
told me
who's this?
Well, does she buy her followers?
It was Rachel Horwitz. No, she does not. But it. Do you know Rachel Horwitz?
I love Rachel Horwitz. Former guest of the pod. Love her.
So she says that she told me that I was being too precious, almost virginal, the way that I'm just like not. It's like play the game. And I'm like, I fought for every single one of the 19,100 people that follows me wants to have sex with me. And like, none of them are robots.
Yeah.
I have fought for each and every one of
them. They are physical beings with accounts, tooth and nail for.
They are girls with eating disorders and gay guys that were in frats. And that is my.
And they're constantly liking all your posts. Or
kind of noticeably not. And, and I think that feels good when they give me that feedback, actually.
Yeah.
And they're like,
I heard you.
I heard you loud and clear.
Yeah. Yeah. The next one. You'll get the next
you said
one.
Yeah. Rain it. Also, women who work, I've got.
Yeah.
Women who work.
Hey, they've got the money.
Yeah.
Women who
buying
work.
Power.
Yeah.
That's a good audience to have.
It is a good audience
to
have.
I know. Yeah. If you're going to have, yeah.
Women buy tickets and women go to things.
And can afford the tickets, those working women.
Yeah, those working girls. I was going to say something else about open mic. You know what's crazy too these days with this, like, there's so many people now that like will bring their camcorders to open mics and we'll film that.
Yeah,
and it's like,
oh my,
it's like filming, it's like doing a highlight reel at practice. Like, what are you doing?
Wait, what's so funny is part of me is like, it's insane to not care, but then I see that and I'm like, you've got to care.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, you have to try hard. And then someone does that, I'm like,
you're being crazy.
Look at it, really? You're going to bomb? You're going to record that? And then you're like, why don't I record myself? Why don't I just record myself like that guy? Like,
this person brought a camera to Pete's Candy Store. Like, come on. Like, that's a lot.
I'm there tonight. Pete's Candy Store.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Dua Lipa was there. Wait, are you bringing
She did a video.
No,
she did
crazy.
A... Didn't...
No, I know, right? Sometimes, I think it's the worst where you're like, I don't want to be that guy to record my set.
Yeah.
And then, like, you kill and you're like,
I should record my set.
Yeah. Or then you do record and then you bomb.
And then you tank.
And then you feel, you're like, why? Yeah. People knew I was recording.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, one time I recorded my set in the upstairs room at the stand and it was like a whole to-do where I had to like, because did I record it with a
phone?
No.
I was going to say,
iPad.
Where? There's nothing. There is.
Don't delete this. And then I was like, now I'm being made fun of by this guy.
Oh, and that guy has no grounds to be making fun of on.
We're keeping that. We're keeping that.
He was homophobic one time. No.
Oh, good. If you're homophobic ever, we have a license to be weird. So, like, you're on a list.
But there's nothing discreet about showing up with an iPad Pro.
It was that. It was this
like
setup.
These iPads. Yeah. It was no, this it's setup. You can only record with the iPad in your home.
It was tough.
But the also at the stand upstairs, like, where did you put that camera? There's no space up there.
Oh, what do you think? Was a full show? Like, what do you think? Sold out?
Yeah, there were seats. No. There were seats for the iPad.
The
iPad bought its own ticket.
Yeah. That's tough. Because part of me is like, if you record everything, nothing matters. But it's like, but then it does become less fun. You know what my goal is? And I'm not going to do this, but I'll mention it to my dad every 2 days. And then he'll be like, we just talked about this. What if for a year we didn't post anything online?
Like everybody? Like everybody in the world?
No, just us three.
Oh, us
three. And maybe Jackson.
Anything online. And because right now it's like there's this like.
They'll miss us.
They will.
Be fucking better. And also
working women will be sad.
Yeah.
Anorexic women will be sad. Men that are anorexic will be sad.
That's nice. Because I feel like now it's this thing where it's like we work on a joke. We get one good video of it. We post it. The joke's done. You used to be able to work on jokes for years. And now jokes, it's like they just disappear.
Well, that's a weird thing too about like this moment in stand-up. I'll be interested to see like over time what happens with it. Because like to your point, like usually people's like, you know, first special would be like, you know, somewhere between 5 to 10 years worth of like material that they worked on and like finally got to this point that they felt was like ready to put out there. Whereas now people do the joke for the first time and it's out there. And like, you know, sometimes like if you got a riff or whatever or like a crowd work thing like that makes sense to put out, I guess, if you want to just like put something out. But like it is a lot of people are like burning material. And obviously, like, you want to hope that like more will always come and like having an abundance mindset like that is good.
It won't.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, take some time to like build that up before it's like ready to, I don't know.
We're in a weird situation now where it's like to build anything, you have to put stuff out there. But then it's almost like then to put stuff out there that's not burnt material is like you like rambling to a camera or whatever. And then it's like, well, now you're building an audience for not even the thing that you're trying to do. It's such a weird, it's just so weird.
Yeah.
It's like a disaster.
Well, that's the other
thing.
The world's
on fire.
I want to be known as a stand-up. but I don't want to just put out all my jokes because I don't want to put my jokes out there without, you know, just for free without, you know, whatever. But I don't want to put like, front facing videos because that's not what I do. And I don't want people to be like, oh, that guy that does those videos. It's like, I'm a stand up. That's what I want to be known for.
Yeah.
So it's a weird like catch 20. I don't know. It's hell is what it is. It's hell.
We're in an impossible situation.
We're in an impossible time.
I got a comment yesterday where I was, criticizing somebody, and then someone commented, and that's why you're a failed stand-up comedian.
They said that to you?
Yeah, and I was like failed. I'm like, I have time, you know.
Failed. I just
I'm still trying. Yes, thank you very much.
Yes,
yeah,
that's crazy. You don't know where I am in my journey. Yeah. Thank you.
And that means they were like, let me go to his profile. Stand-up. That's why you're failed. You will, you know. I'm like, okay.
Someone said to me, "Is this supposed to be funny?" And I said, "No, it's a TED Talk." And then everyone liked that comment. No, it's a TED Talk. What do you want?
People will say sometimes on my videos they'll be like, "Oh, is this just like a lecture on your gender?" And it's like, no, there were clear jokes. You dumb fuck. I hate that.
If you ever need, and you can use this.
Yeah,
we're gonna get. If you ever need a video that you just want to pop off, just write coming out story. People will totally watch it.
People love that.
I don't say it. Yeah,
people love that.
Coming out.
Part two.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, my older brother's coming out story. My younger brother's coming out story. My dad's coming out. Everyone's coming out story.
We love
are
this.
Coming out.
I get some.
It's an observational joke about your cat. They're like, what's going on?
I hate when like I'll post something that like does well. Yeah. Comments are positive. And then like you said, one guy will be like, this isn't funny. And I'm like, clearly people like this.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking? Yeah. Like, that hurts the most.
Dude, I want myself to be at the point where I can look at a comment section and see that it's 90% great comments, one bad one.
That
and
hurts
be like,
the most.
And I'm only focused on that. That's the only thing I hear. It's the only thing that gets to me.
Yeah.
Like, it's all I remember is, like, that one negative thing, even though it's so the minority. And honestly, good or bad, I shouldn't be paying attention to it anyway. It's all the same.
It's
whatever. But
I think it's pathetic how... like I'll see a mean comment, I'm like, they got to me.
I know.
I'm like, they really did.
It's so, I feel so like I'm so shallow, like not shallow, but like I'm so vulnerable to it. I'm just like, oh, like the littlest thing. And some days I'm like, whatever, I don't care. But other days it really will get to you. It's crazy.
You ever delete a comment? You ever delete a mean comment?
I've deleted some mean comments, but usually it's like if it's like really like. Because, I don't know, especially for me, like, if it's, like, super transphobic or something, I don't want to have, like, other trans people come to my page and have to see that.
Yeah.
So I usually, like, for those kind of things, or if it's just, like, somebody just being, like, relentless and won't stop, I'll just, like, block them and delete their shit. Cause it's, like,
have you ever deleted a comment that was, like, I don't think this is funny? I have.
And it's funny when people are, like, oh, this comment section is clearly curated, and it's, like, it's my fucking page! I'll do what I want.
Yeah, all the working women are like, we love you.
They're like, my daughter asked why this other kid at school's mom made cookies and their mom works all the time. My mom was a working mom, so then I jokes about it. And the algorithm, which
got
is magic,
like
has really sent it out to the people that...
The mothers who work.
Moms who work. I know I'm always worried that my jokes about my dad will make other stay-at-home dads feel bad. And I'm like, no, it's a whole thing.
No, they're going to feel seen by it.
Yeah, they're like, finally.
Finally, somebody's talking about me being on this couch.
I don't want them to be like, oh, my kids will be gay. But what is in
really
homophobic about?
It is. And we can work through that.
Yeah, they probably will. They probably will. And what's the cost? You have a pool and you didn't work for it. So like, relax.
Yeah.
They have the time.
Your
to
wife
watch
paid
this.
For
they're
it.
Not doing anything.
Exactly. Yeah. They got time to kill.
I feel like a lot of stay-at-home dads, though, are like, there's like a vibe, actually gay dads I think are like this, where they're like kind of working overtime to be like, oh, I'm a stay-at-home dad. It's like you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think my dad really did that. Like, he just kind of like wore sweatpants a lot, and we're always going to the car mechanic.
To be fair, he was only a stay-at-home dad for a period of time.
A
he is a high school teacher, ultimately.
Why are you giving him that title? Does he appreciate that title?
I don't know. It kind of just like, the thing with comedy is like everything starts with a kernel of
that's
truth.
So
yeah.
And then things just sort of like...
That's
like,
always a funny thing when people ask you like, oh, is that exactly true? And it's like, no, do you want the exact true story? That's going to be boring as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, it starts with there's a feeling of truth to this, you know?
Say this, but then I'm like, I can't not do a first name last name, but it has to be real because I'll know it's not real. I'll know it has to be the real one. That's crazy.
Yeah, because I have a joke about like being at my cousin's wedding and talking about this guy that said something to me, and then when I saw my cousins last, they were like, was it this guy or this, and I was like, no, like, I don't, first of all, I don't
is
remember
that, damn dog, I had no
yeah
idea.
Yeah, that's, it's like that is like an amalgamation of feelings I have, and a person said something similar that one time that wasn't actually at this wedding, but putting it at a cousin's wedding makes it more relevant to the story.
Yeah,
that's just
you,
how
or
art
you have
works.
To change, like, you have something that's true, and then you're like, I have to change this so people don't think it's true,
right?
You know?
Right.
Yeah,
or so
like,
people
otherwise
don't identify who it is in the story.
Yeah,
no, totally. Damn. Should we?
That's interesting. Okay, here's our last boys club. What do you feel like is a boys club you wish to see in the world?
Oh boy.
We also frame this as community you would like to form, if that's an easier way to think about it.
Oh, I didn't think about this one. A community I'd like to form, just like a loving and inclusive community. And yeah. I didn't come prepared for that.
No,
one.
No, no.
That's the hardest one.
It is the hardest one. Yeah. But do you feel like, okay, I want to ask you about like your, so like, we haven't even gotten into this yet, but can you tell us a little bit about like your journey into stand-up?
Yeah, sure. I always liked comedy and stand-up. And then COVID happened. And during COVID, I was like, if I survive this, I'm going to do stand-up.
Fuck yeah.
And then after COVID, I did my first mic. And I killed. And I'm like, this is so easy.
Yeah.
I can just do this all the
Where
time.
Where was it?
It was at, oh my God. They don't have it anymore. Oh, I can't remember. Damn, I can't remember.
Was it in New York?
Yeah, it was in Manhattan. It was like
the Upper East Side.
I don't even remember.
It was Joey like, Bats was a while.
It was like the basement of a bar, but I can't remember. They don't have it anymore.
Joey Bats was really triggering.
It closed like right after I did my first mic too, and I was like, look what I did.
You burned the place down.
They're like, never. We can't have it back. Wait,
were you here for outdoor open mics?
Oh no! See, no, I missed those.
Oh my God! Because we both also moved here like right after the like in 20 late. Or like early 2021, like spring when things had like people got vaccinated and things started opening up, but there was still a lot of outdoor.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't do that.
People were doing outdoor mics and we would do mics in the park. But speaking of Joey Bats, I did a mic there one time. I think it was there. Or what was that? Old Man Hustle.
Oh.
Wow.
Terrible place.
And you bomb as people walk by that you might know.
Yeah.
From real life.
From real life. And I was like, it was like, I was like 20 people deep on this list. I'm sitting, it's raining. We have an amp and a mic and it's leaking through like one of those outdoor huts.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, we're going to get electrocuted. This isn't worth it. This isn't worth it.
Wait, you said there's like a little Irish in you. This isn't worth it.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Anyway, not to cut you off, but okay, so you did your first mic.
And then I knew there were like Zoom mics.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I never did one.
I never did one.
I refused to.
I did that.
You did it? How was that?
Awful. It was just
awful. Did you like the laugh?
I mean, it was nice because like
nothing worse than people laugh. Like, ha ha ha.
Other people talk to you would just be like,
camera.
I used to go and ride my Peloton in between. Like I had a
Peloton. We got back to Peloton. Nice.
I would just like ride and like do like a high intensity interval thing and then hop onto the mic.
And then you get on the mic. You guys ever talk about being gay? And they're like, are you okay? Do you have COVID? No, what's going on?
Someone left the room.
You know I loved a class. Like, no, I've never done it. You've never seen me do a character, obviously. I don't do characters. But I would take a characters class to be like, what's this? And then it would be like seven people would present their characters. I would fully be just like on Peloton the entire time.
Oh my God.
And that's an addiction.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. But anyway, so.
Yeah, so no, I never did that. And then I started doing it like right after COVID while I was still living in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And then I think I got, okay, and then I guess maybe this contradicts what my whole thing. But I was like, I got to move to.
You got to be the guy you didn't want to be.
I got to be the guy I hate, you know?
Yeah.
The thing. So I did that and I started getting more into it. And I'm Palestinian. So like a lot of my comedy centered around that.
Yeah.
And, you know, like obviously terrible things are happening, but I'm like, I can joke about this. And so I started doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you felt like it's been obviously like, I mean, what's going on right now is like beyond tragic and beyond horrifying. Mm-hmm. But do you find that it's been like helpful as like a way to like process a lot of what you've been going through and like what your culture's been going culturally and stuff?
And I think like when like things first started happening, I was like, nothing is funny.
No, you totally.
Know? And it was like really, I think it was really difficult to like just do stand up. I was like, I can't do this. But then like obviously there's like a lot of stuff on my mind that I should. Like I would like to talk about and then you do it and then people laugh and you're like,
yeah,
this is good. Somebody came up to me once after a show and I did really well and he was like this other Muslim guy and he was like, oh, he's like, you're really funny, you haven't been fired from your job for saying that? And I was like, no, not yet. And he's like, all right, cool. And then he left and I'm like, oh my God,
oh fuck. Come back, like, what do you mean?
He's like, wow, and then just left.
What
can you do?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to equate these things at all, but like obviously, like, you know, being trans, like that, like really helped me get through it. Was like I started doing stand-up around the same time I started transitioning, and like being able to talk about it on stage was so helpful for me. And like I found that, like, you know, I'm not obviously like, I'm not that I'm doing anything to help anybody, whatever, but like, it has been really cool to be able to like go on shows and see people laughing about it and being able to like connect to it, especially when things are feeling divisive and you're like, it shouldn't be like this. It doesn't need to be divisive in this way. Like, we should be more compassionate about these things and talk about it. And comedy is such a great way to like break that thing, those things down. And so that's so cool that you're able to like find ways to like talk about it in a way that feels good to you and also like can make people laugh. It's really great.
And I think I didn't go to a mic for like a while.
Yeah.
When, like, things were going on. And then I was like, all right, let me go to my first mic. And like, it was this older white guy who was like, hey, I hope I don't bomb like Gaza. And I'm like, I can't.
literally. Can't, oh my God. I'm going to take you out back and shoot you, bro. Like,
yeah. And he was like, that was good. And nobody laughed.
Dude, of course. Yeah.
The same guy who did the whole
thing. Yeah, literally, probably. And it's so frustrating, too, when you see, like, I mean, you know, similarly, like when people like use it, like other comics are using it as like a punching bag. Or like a way to like talk about something that they see as like a way to like, oh, this will go viral because it's like this talking point or whatever. Yeah. And it's like so frustrating. And then they, you know, I don't know if you've gotten any of this or whatever, but like sometimes people will be like, oh, you just talk about that because like, you know, people want it, whatever. And it's like, this is me. Like this happens, like this is coming from a real perspective.
Yeah.
You saying your bullshit is not coming from a real perspective. Like,
I've gotten like some of that and I'm like, oh, I'm Palestinian. And they're like, oh, we didn't think about that. Like, we didn't consider that. Yeah. Like, I've had comments of people like, oh, now you're talking about this.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, not now.
Yeah. Have you seen any of Mo Ammer's show?
Yeah.
He's super cool. I did the Netflix is a Joke Festival a couple years ago, and he was the host.
Oh, cool!
And it was so cool to meet him.
Oh,
and
that's awesome.
Yeah. And I'm excited to see his new hour. Like, it just seems like so. I don't know. He's so funny, and just like what he's doing right now is just super rad.
That's so cool. Yeah. He's from Texas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's so cool. Yeah. And there's like, I think now it's
Houston,
great. Like a lot of. You know, comics are now able to be like, hey, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
And I think the other side, I haven't found any like,
no,
anything really funny. And you know what I mean? Like, where I'm like, that's it.
Yeah. It's pretty cut and dry. Nothing funny about it. Yeah.
And then when you do see it, I'm like, that's not funny.
It's not funny. It's no. Not, funnily enough, being a fascist and suppressor is not funny.
Where's the comedy?
Yeah. What's funny about being the dominant power?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Damn. Well, that's so amazing, and I'm super cool. Before we wrap up, you want to tell the people where they can find your stuff and where they... Yeah, plug your show, please.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So when does this come out?
This will be out on Monday.
Monday.
Which is the 28th.
Okay, cool. So May 2nd, I host a show called Paid Protest, which is a fundraiser show for the DSA, the Democratic Socialist of America.
Hell yeah.
And it's
I'm on
the
email list.
Friday. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's the first Friday of every month. We have a show at Silo in Brooklyn, and we raise money for really good causes, and
Where
that's about it. Williamsburg.
Sick.
You guys hear Silo?
I don't know if I've been to Silo
like
before.
Like a dance club.
Oh, sick. Okay, cool.
By like the Brooklyn Mirage.
Oh, yeah. Word. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's
like
not,
Williamsburg,
not
right,
where
yeah.
I go.
Yeah.
Then I go there for that.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Wow, this is nuts.
Crazy place.
Yeah. So we do a show there.
Okay, amazing.
Yeah, and I have May 9th, I'm doing Pink Frog Cafe.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I'm doing a fundraiser for Art for Palestine. Mm. I'm doing that.
And amazing.
It's called Chords for Something, but it's really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah,
we'll tag your, and listen to your Instagram too, tell the people where
they
can find you.
Oh, yes. Sharif Hassan _ is my Instagram, and Sharif Labif is my TikTok.
Amazing.
That's my name.
We're going to tag all of that.
Yeah.
Who went to see Lord? Wow. Whoa. That's insane. That's more people than you can imagine.
Can you zoom in on everyone?
Yeah.
So we can be
can
like,
we get
their
names and their social securities?
Who are these people?
Wow. Looks like a lot of girls.
That looks
I don't know, actually.
I get why they were like, this is not
happening. How long was she out there?
4 minutes.
No way.
Actually, no. She sampled a 2 minutes of a song. And then I thought she sang Ribs. No, they just played Ribs without, and they just like yelled, you know, Ribs.
Really? Yeah, yeah.
The Dream.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Really? That's it?
That's wild.
And then she left?
Yeah.
That's all you get for free.
No,
yeah, she just evaporated.
Yeah.
Lord is an example of someone who just like doesn't post online for a year. Like,
yeah, but she's really
like,
fucking famous.
And she, remember she
it's
had
a di-
that?
It's
I
different
know
this. For us.
She had her on. Yeah, I like you. Yeah, I keep trying to go back. You're like, Lord's doing what we are
Lord's doing
do.
What we're doing. She's
and
going.
It works for
and
her.
It works for her because she already has a million followers
yeah.
on Spotify.
I'm going to cut that out and play it to me when I'm already down.
I like you try to include it. You're like, if we just don't post.
Lord's like us.
It's going to be mysterious. And then people are like, these
yeah.
guys are awesome.
Yeah. It's like,
but she had that Onion Rings account. Remember that? I knew that.
kind of.
Yeah, weird onion rings
and people realized it was her.
That's so funny. Yeah. Quirky, quirky lord.
Yeah, we saw her with Muna. Do you know Muna?
Yeah.
She came out to do, you know Silk Chiffon?
I think so,
that Phoebe Bridgers is on.
Yes, they often have
a famous, like just a person come to do that she did.
And she came out, which was crazy. We were like not expecting someone more famous than Phoebe Bridgers to come do the cover. Yeah. Damn. Well, anyway, Sharif, thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thank you so much for having
me. Check out his show.
Appreciate it.
Go see his show. Go donate some great causes and stuff. We're so grateful that you came and buy into the podcast. And
really
everything's going to be tagged below. Check out his Instagram. Check out his show. It's going up for a good cause. So definitely a good one to check out. And we will be back next week with another episode of Boys Club.
My birthday's in 2 days. Give us money.
Yes. Okay. Bye.